All right, I got 6:30. We'll go ahead and get the September double board meeting rolling. Little housekeeping real quick, if everybody could just mute their phones and we'll get started. Jim, would you please cover our minutes from the last meeting?
Yeah, Lake Elbow Board of Directors meeting Tuesday, August 12th. In attendance is Dave Spinagel, Randy Lau, Brent Keeman, Jim Lund, RJ Whitlock, Karen Van Vliet, and Mark Yeardley. Not in attendance was Rita Taylor. A lot of guests in attendance. Called the meeting to order at 6:30. Jim Lund read the minutes from the July 2023 minutes. Dave Spinagel asked for a motion to approve the minutes as read. Karen motioned, RJ seconded, motion carried. Jim read them the August 2023. It would be the July 2023 minutes. After a few changes, Dave Spinagel asked for a motion to approve the minutes as amended. Karen motioned, Randy seconded, motion carried. The treasurer's report. Brent McKeeman presented the treasurer's report. Moses asked about the bucket pong donation posted on the report. Brett said he would look further into it. Dave Spinagel and Brent worked to create a template so the treasurer could easily file a lien on property that had not paid their dues and assessments. Brent requested permission from the board to file a lien on the past due dues and assessments for the Ross property. Jim made a motion, RJ seconded, motion carried. Brent motioned that he would be doing his biannual transfer of the road funds collected for the year of 2023 out of the checking account into the road fund. Brief discussion occurred on the dredge fund, how the current 2023 funds were being applied directly to the loan payments on the previous dredge project. Brent asked the board to make a motion to extend our line of credit with the bank. The cost is approximately $400 annually. Karen made a motion. Randy seconded. Motion carried. Dave asked for a motion to file the treasurer's report for audit. RJ motioned. Karen motioned or seconded. Motion to file the report for audit. Dave Spinagel, welcome guest. Old business. Dave Spinagel spoke for several minutes about the 75th year celebration event. He discussed how successful the event was. He thanked all that helped. Committee updates. Shed cleanup. Dean Van Vliet spoke about the shed. He has 7 contracts for trailer storage. He has a total of 15 to 20 to 18 spots. Most of the work is done on the inside of the shed. New lights were installed. Cameras are installed. Jim Lund asked the board for a motion to reserve a dedicated fireworks equipment storage location in the shed. Jim is requesting a 15 by 20 space reserved. Brent made a motion. Karen seconded. Motion carried. Insurance. Brooke from the insurance company attended the meeting and answered questions. Questions came up about an umbrella policy. Previous quote was $1,400. This year quote was $1,250. Our current general liability policy is a $1 million policy with a $2 million total. Brooke will send bid specs so we can compare their prices to competitors. Work comp questions were asked. Price is $640 per year. Brooke suggested if we had an injury that we submit a report the day of the accident to the insurance company or the agency. ATVs / golf carts would be covered. Medical / injury payments, up to $5,000 max. Board asked for a quote to up this to $25,000 to $50,000. Jet skis falls on the boat / jet ski owner's insurance. Our insurance company would be the second and defend us. Building permit extension. Galen Pelton, member not in attendance, asked for an extension on his existing building permit. Jim made a motion to extend. Brett seconded. Motion carried. Membership application. Dave and Jennifer Broughton has purchased the property from Roger Johnson. Brent made a motion to approve membership. RJ seconded. Motion carried. Patricia Johnson came to the board requesting help about guns being discharged within the lake. She reported that Brian Baker had been discharging firearms inside of Lake Elbow. She reported that she had contacted the Pottawatomie County Sheriff about this. Pottawatomie County does not have any laws preventing this, and she needed to bring the issue to the Lake Elbow Board, as it was our rules that defined no discharging of firearms. takes this issue seriously. After much discussion, it was agreed that the board would send a letter to Brian Baker. Boat safety slash regulations. Rita had previously brought up the issue. After some discussion, the conversation was tabled. Clubhouse expansion. Discussion occurred on starting fundraising. Randy asked about the poker fund dollars from last year for this. Need to try and get our hands on some firm plans by the annual meeting. Brent's vision was $10,000 in donations, $10,000 in a matching donation, finishing with a $40,000 loan. Road work day, August 12th. Road work only on this day. Apply cold patch and tar to the roads. Brent made a motion to purchase $2,200 in cold patch, 18 tons. RJ seconded. Motion carried. Fall work day will be September 30th. Tree trimming, work on ditches, more to be discussed as we get closer. Open board position. Rita Taylor submitted her resignation from the board, leaving an open position. Discussion occurred, and we had several members volunteer to fill her position. After much discussion, the board selected Lori Moses to fill the position. Karen made a motion. RJ seconded. The motion carried. Pop machine at the clubhouse. A request to place a vending pop machine at the clubhouse came up. Brent made a motion to place a vending pop machine at the clubhouse. RJ seconded. The motion carried. Jim Lund made a motion to permit Scout Pack 284 and Troop 284 to use the swimming beach area for an end of summer slash back to school celebration. Randy motioned. Karen seconded. Motion carried. Randy made a motion to adjourn. RJ seconded. Next meeting, Tuesday, September 12th at 6:30. Any adjustments or corrections? Sure. Hold on. I got to be able to get there. Okay. G-A-L.
G-A-L-E-N.
Okay.
And cold patch, not 2,200.
Up to 3,500. Okay.
The fundraising for the clubhouse.
Hold on. Yeah.
I said turkey shooting. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to.
Yeah. Okay, turkey, got it. Oh, give me just a second.
Coming down on us.
Yeah, okay. The turkey shoot, turkey fundraiser.
Turkey shoot. I've got a question on the cameras in the shed out there. Are they on 24/7 or just when the door opens?
You'll have to ask Dean.
Okay. I'll get with you later. Okay. All right. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes as amended?
That's a motion.
Thank you, Jim. Brant, would you please cover the treasury report with us?
Please see in the packet the balance sheet comparison. Bank accounts, clubhouse addition is that checking account we set up, balance of $1,247. I do anticipate getting a $15 refund from the bank that made an error and charging us bank statement. But of course, that's the largest part of that increase is due. Thank you, Randy. We transferred the turkey shoot fundraising. Commerce regular checking account, $49,208. Memorial funds, $2,513. Road fund, $124,164. So, of course, that does include. The most significant change in our accounts is that transfer of $30,000 from regular checking to money market road fund. Lake slash dredge fund, $15,055. Total in bank accounts, $192,188. Total current assets, $192,000. Fixed assets, $79,138. Total assets, $271,027. Liabilities are commerce credit cards, $1,974.98. I'll cover details and costs. Long-term liability, that's our 2014 large dredge loan, $34,381. I'd encourage us to consider to anticipate in the first quarter of next year paying that amount.
Yes.
So, total equity, $234,978. Profit and loss. Assessments, $19. When I posted the donations via Venmo, that was on the 1st of August. So that's where this 4th of July Venmo donation, $30, is coming from. And we Venmo worked, hit and miss a little bit with reception in that low spot. There were no cards taken for donations. It was, we had the machine to take donations at. Fishing Derby, this was just one of several donations, but this was the last one that Harold turned into. It's $185 Fishing Derby. Lake Day Jet Ski, the total received for that was $255. So total donations in August is that $470. Dues $200, interest income $117. Merchandise sales were still trickling in at $84. There's the rent for the caretaker's home. Clubhouse was rented every weekend in August. So that's that $650 for income from the club rent clubhouse. Proud to see that shop parking spot rent, $99.05 for August. So total income, $2,391. Expenses. That first one you see, $2,567. That was the in zone merchandise expense that came in on August 1st. It had caught me by surprise. But that was the last of the merchandise 4th of July cost. Fuel, $38. Bank service charge, so the $10 part of the statement fee, and then the $400 was again the documentation fee at Commerce Bank to renew the line of credit. Our line of credit is renewed. $49 for caretaker house. I put some downspouts on the caretaker. Clubhouse cleaning, $70. Clubhouse cleaning, it should be under maintenance, sorry. Batteries for the doors, and then got some paper plates. Computer and internet expenses, $176. That's printer ink. Dam repair and maintenance. Thank you, Harold, for spraying the dam. Got some spray for the dam. Interest expense, $136. Luau party, $224. That includes sandwiches. They did these little Hawaiian sliders, napkins, and so on. Didn't purchase any new decorations. Harold, I just spoke about you. You just said thank you, Harold, for spraying the dam. Speak of the
dogs. Always about an appearance.
Mowing, $800, so that'd be four times in the month. I've been pretty impressed with the tossings.
Yep. I stopped in out at their garden center a couple weekends ago and talked to the owner and his wife and the people, other people that got help running. I don't know how happy we were.
Professional fees, $245. That is our CPA that reconciles audits our books. Repairs and maintenance, that includes some things for Harold, from Harold, deer scent, and a number of other items towards the spring. Road and gravel, $3,451. So that's the single largest expense in August, having to do with road and gravel. It breaks out to $3,100 for the coal patch, but I also bought some crack filler, some fuel, some spoogies for the crack filler. Shop maintenance, $31 was a load to dump from the items that came from the shop. And utilities, 518, that includes 117 for the cat cans. It's gone. So they picked it up. That'll be our last. Well, we'll have one more bill. The cat cans for the year, they have a note to themselves to bring that same size back out after Memorial or Memorial weekend. And then the other part, like part of the utilities was clubhouse electric was 237. So I've been, after a conversation with Jim, I've been coming in periodically and checking on it. It's keeping it to 8. So hope now.
Been pretty warm.
Yes. Total expenses, $8,885. Net operating income for August is negative $6,494. Any questions on profit loss or balance? You can see aging summary there. I've been putting some friendly reminder letters that have actually led to great success. I have two concerns on that list, but the board is aware of who that is.
All right. Motion to file the credit report for audit. Very good. Well, thank you and welcome, everybody. And did you get your sign-in sheet passed around, Jim?
Yeah.
Okay, great. We're going to get rolling here with tonight's business. In the sake of time, we've got some folks from WTC, I guess. Is it Wamego Telephone still? I'll speak to WTC, then it's easier. But that we're able to come out on really short notice to help answer any questions. So for the sake of their time, I'm going to move them towards the front. And go through their stuff. So I think probably the best place to start, you guys, we've broadcasted the information on our Facebook page. It looks like there's been quite a bit of activity. I believe there's FAQs on there. I remember I read through some of that. There's pricing for internet, TV, and I believe voice phone. Things maybe to start with, just a kind of a brief summary of what it is you guys would like to do. Scope of work, time frame, that sort of thing.
Sure. Well, I'm Tom, and this is Sean. We appreciate you guys letting us come in today. And Lake Elbow's kind of been on our radar for quite a while. That's an area that we'd like to serve. We founded in Wamego in 1912 and serve about 500 square miles right around between Rossville and the west side of Manhattan. And so we have a contractor that we use for a lot of work, and they had an opening come up starting in November and kind of about 3 to 4 months, kind of what they're thinking. So we kind of had this on our radar. And so if we can get to that 70%, which it looks like we're going to get there pretty quick, we're 52% currently. So if we get 18 more people to hit that website and give us your name and number, we can reach that goal and start it.
Just to clarify, that's really all they're committing to is just interest.
It is interest. There's no financial commitment. If you get cold feet after we get the line up to your house, and or if you're in a contract, and you know, we got a whatever, if the timing's not right, you're not bound to it. We want, at some point, we'd like to have your service, and whether that's day one or 90 days after, whatever.
There's no cost to get. If you sign up just to get the duct up to your house or a line up to your house, there's zero cost in that for you. And we don't have any contracts either. Or data limits. It's unmarked.
Yeah. So WTC does have a 100% fiber network. So the lines that will be laying to your home will be a fiber optic service. Far superior to anything else that you have available to you today, and our speeds are symmetrical. So if you get our 300 meg service, it's 300 by 300. So it would be very fast. If you have AT&T or Cox phone, we can port that over. If you get Dish TV and you don't get NBC or Fox because of a contract dispute, we can help you out with that.
I haven't hardly heard about that lately.
Yeah. It's not to push it off.
The football season started.
Yeah.
So, let's open it up. If you have any questions, we'd be glad to answer those.
So I think where I'd like to start is what you would do as far as day one groundbreaking. I mean, you guys basically run cable or fiber into the lake and then basically buy each house. I mean, there you run along the roads within the easements, I assume.
So again, like Tom said, I'm Sean Smith. I'm our plant manager, and we have done some preliminary like looking out here. I know our engineer was out here and had some questions, and he wasn't trying to stalk anybody or anything, but really just kind of look at the area and give us kind of an initial what it's going to take. And so when we start a project like this, obviously it's a little bit different in here because it is a private area, so I'll have a ton of contact with you guys to find out where, what your easements are, what is acceptable, what's not. That's all stuff that we deal with all the time. And so we'll have a lot of contact with you. Well, when they come in, most of this area will be drilled. So it'll all be directional drill. There won't be anything, obviously, will stay off the roads. There will be what we call handholds or vaults placed. The drops will come out of the vault, so the service will come out of those vaults to your house. Minimal, some of those would be allowed to be, or would be, we would allow them, if you guys do, to be plowed, which is a vibratory plow. It's just kind of like a knife in the ground that takes it up to the house. They run back over the rib. We get one rain and it's growing, couldn't tell the difference from before, but clean up, we take it very serious. If there is questions on an area, all we ask is that if it comes to the, are you guys an HOA? If there is questions, that the homeowners either contact us directly or at least come to the HOA and give us a chance to fix it, bring it to our attention, to deal with it. We have a lot of projects going on, so we definitely deal with the yards and questions a ton. There's going to be a lot. We're ready for it, but
you're drilling under roads versus cutting roads.
Yeah, that would be it would all be anywhere there's a culvert. Almost everything in here will be directional drill. There's enough volume of houses that kind of hard to get a plow in to do anything different than, and we won't trench anything. It'll all be. So when they directional drill, they dig a hole on one side and they shoot a drill underground horizontal to another spot, and it comes back out of the ground. If that makes sense to people who haven't seen it before. But it makes way less of a mess and it's efficient for sure.
What actually runs into the house? What do you?
Yeah, so on the outside of your house, we'll have a box like this, and there'll be a duct either like this, or this is a 1 inch. A lot of times now we're running 18 millimeter, this gray stuff. It's about half of the size, and it will come up inside your house into a box similar to this. Could be this or something even a little bit smaller. And then what we like to do is do walkthroughs through everybody's house beforehand. So we come out, two of our techs will come out. You'll walk them through your house the way it's set up. We'll say, this is what we need to do. They'll place, when we do come back, they'll place a flag so that the contractor knows where to put the drop. They'll get the drop that fell off there, to the house. And then the technicians will put a little duct, through your house that looks like that. And then it will go into a mechanical room or someplace centralized in the house. We'll go to a fiber optic point inside that also has a router built into it. So you kind of have it all in one. It would also feed your TV, your landline telephone.
So then do all the TVs run wirelessly?
They can. Generally, we like to have them wired if we can. And the technicians would run those wires. We can run wireless TV. It's absolutely out there. If there's a house that's fully finished and just one of those, a lot of times they can find a way to do it cleanly and neatly without doing that. The walkthroughs are huge because then you get to meet our technicians and show them your house instead of us just showing up and saying, this is how we're going to do it. You have some input on it. We're pretty diligent about those just because they help us and our contractor out a ton when it comes time for them to put the drop up to your house. So
didn't catch it in the frequently FAQs, but is there like a charge per box or a charge per TV per device?
There it is. So it's $7 per receiver at the first one.
Very similar to.
And then Sean mentioned the walkthrough. So everyone, the pace we're on by Friday, possibly we could be at that 7%. We would like to start walkthroughs October 1. So he mentioned, our technicians. So our technicians, WTC employees would actually come and do the walkthrough in the house to find that location for the contractors to hit. That way the contractor is the one outside your house, and only we would only ever be a WTC employee inside your house.
What that helps too, like Tom said, is then the engineer can come through and say, okay, there's two houses sitting like this, and we need to hit this house on this side and that house on that side. He knows we can put that ball there and hit both of them as cleanly as possible, as efficiently as possible for everybody. So there is a ton of benefit to it, we found, to be able to do that walkthrough prior to him actually even coming out and staking the area. When I mean staking it, engineering it, we're gonna build it.
I had visited with Tom earlier, and I asked about integrated Wi-Fi extenders, and he said something about is that antenna that you showed me, is that on the router?
So the router has that fiber point that he talked about.
Right.
That actually has a built-in router in it, but then within that same network of equipment, if your house is large enough that it needs an extender, there's mesh units that can be added to the home.
Do they just plug in just like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have wire. If your house is set up for it, we can use wire, but most of them are used wire.
Are they exclusive, your brand, your item, or if we already have those devices, do they typically work?
We can use your equipment if obviously probably Jim's house, he's going to have his own router, but, about 80-85% of our new installs use our equipment. That way we just take care of it, keep it updated. But by all means, if you have something, we're charging $6 a month for a managed Wi-Fi.
What is the benefit of that too? If it gets lightning, if it just dies, it's replaced for free. There's no hidden gotcha on those.
So do you charge for each mesh unit?
Yeah.
Do you know what those run?
The router and a mesh unit is $10 and then $5 for each mesh unit.
Okay.
Is there a charge for the initial install?
Okay. You have to have the mesh for each TV.
Now the mesh is just for like square feet. It's not like, say,
a
1500 square foot home, a single router typically will cover it. And then as you start adding levels of every 500 square feet or so, then you're looking at a mesh unit.
Mm-hmm.
So every house is different though. If it's a concrete home or stone or something, that's got its challenges. If you want to push it out to a garage, you have metal skin on your garage, that metal skin's going to knock that signal down to nothing. So you're going to have something.
If the lots are big enough too, we do what we call an off-premise. It's $10 a month, so you do one TV out in your shop, or, and I don't know how many there is up here.
All of them hang out.
As far as where they hang out.
They don't stay in the house.
Makes sense.
No service in the house.
We all house.
But well, when your techs come to the homes, then they'll discuss if they think we need more mesh or what, you know, the
unit.
Well, one unit, and then.
We have testers too. So if there's an area where they think might be a problem, they can set up your router, your fiber point that has the built-in router on it, which are, they're really good. It's the newest technology, and I'm not just saying that. It changes, as Jim would know, all the time. But it is the, we try to keep it as up to date as we can. That's another benefit to the managed part of it. If we come out and you're like, my speeds are slow, we have an old router, gets changed out. There's no extra cost to you. That's, it just gets changed and free up to the next newest, I guess. We've just figured out that that's what works best for us to keep our customers happy as far as the stuff working like it's supposed to.
Sure. You're not going to reuse any existing coax in the house.
Okay,
I got a question. Yeah. Been on a season, I have a box moving like that. In my bedroom. How would I do that with you? I'd have to get in the wire both places.
Absolutely. And there's even an app that goes with our TV service. So if it was a seasonal thing, you know, if you used it six times a year, you get loaded on a Roku stick or Fire Stick and have that same WTC TV lineup running on a smart device without even a set up.
It's Cat 5 actually. So it's a four copper pairs of wires. Yep. Just like Cox probably has the coax coming into the main box and then Ethernet or a Cat 5 or Cat 6 out of it. Ours is all from that fiber point. Everything is Cat 5. And it runs from there either to the TV or if we do it wireless. Be wireless as well. So
anybody in the audience have any questions? I mean, feel free to ask away.
Say you're using Cox right now. So and you go with WTC. Does anything change with that Cox?
Like their stuff outside?
Yeah.
Most of the customers, they'll return their cable TV receivers and all that to the Cox store and app. So all that would just go back.
But none of the wiring or anything like that changes. So if I get mad at you and say, I'm going to, I can just call.
Good Lord.
Look out, Randy. And that's one thing.
She never gets
we don't do contracts, so everybody pays the same rate, whether you're hooking up in March when we get down to this project, or whether
we don't have to call you once a year and remind you that we're your customer and you got to drop our price back down.
No, but the one thing I will tell you, like our internet and phone packages are very stable. There's no movement in that pricing. The TV networks that we do business with is kind of like dealing with the mob. So. They hold the gun to our head every 3 years and we renew the gun.
We do have NBC.
Yeah.
And Fox.
So,
Jared, you got a question?
I have about $5 to $7 a year on our TV packages. No question. Like February 1, you'll see. We'll send out a letter saying, hey, this is what we're looking at. But it's just.
You don't just raise our price automatically.
No, you're going to get a letter.
You're going to get the price raised. So. They can't pass that.
Use a question.
So, my phone has to run off the internet. I get just barely any signal in the house. So, when I play on, would I have to turn my Cox stuff in prior to the guys getting set up, or can I do a kind of?
Yeah, so one thing that we do is we don't want you to have two billing cycles or double bill, that sort of thing. So pretty much, so today's the 12th, and we like to give people a 3 month service. So we'll probably be, you know, we probably give you at this point, we're at your house today, hooking up service. We give you the rest of September and all of October, so your billing will start November 1. So that way, our service would be, would be working until our guys leave, and then you can make the truck driver call.
3 months up front, you never get a bag. Yeah.
No, not always. That's why we're really forgiving on running. If you're in a DirecTV contract and they got charged you $200, we'll have up to $200 buyouts on the TV.
Is there any buyouts on big costs? You have a certain with them, you ended too early, they
heard you. Typically, everybody that's got a decent price with Cox is in contract. The way it is, and most residential contracts are 12 months, so you know, it's somewhere in that time frame. So, as we start this construction project. Get a $20 bill increase on your Cox monthly bill. It's probably because you ran out of your contract. You just go month to month until we can get you squished at that point. And then once it's time to convert, we recommend calling to see where you're at on that contract. And a lot of times, close, we'll do something.
That's why.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's a 2 year. Yeah.
So you're thinking probably start November and 3 to 4 months. It's kind of, understanding we're going through the winter. So I know that has its challenges.
I appreciate you saying that. So yeah, our contractor he's planning on, if everything goes as planned, like mid-November as start date. And I know it sounds weird. It didn't used to be like that. Him and I were doing it. These were our months off. Was November through, December through March. You didn't do a lot of underground stuff. Everything's changed. If they can work, they're gonna work. They are out of Vermilion, Kansas, and they travel a lot, so they had a time where it's a lot easier for them to wake up at home and travel here if they can work. So. They asked us, and we thought this area would fit really well for it. So, yeah, we're anticipating probably 3 to 4 months, I think, for it to get built. Mainline and the drops that have signed up, which they will do. They kind of try to do it as they go, which works out really good for them. Their system, every contract's a little bit different, but the way they're set up, it works really well to do it like that. So,
in this initial run, do they actually put the boxes on the house now, or that's after we've committed to service?
They do not. If you don't commit to service, they will just take that duct up to the house. And then, if say you're in a situation where you are in a contract for a couple of years, you don't want that box on the side of your house, or you want to go however long, whatever the situation. We won't put
this contract on there. Runs the lines, plus they run the line to the house.
Correct.
And basically ended at the house. And then from there, you guys come in.
We do take over. Yep. We do all of our own splicing at the house. Some of the splicing out in the field to a contractor, but most of the fiber splicing we do in-house. At the house, we do all of it. So that's the most. Once we get it engineered, there will be one box that it was probably be out on Lake Hubble Road. One thing I will say, so we got grants for a whole bunch of rural areas up here. And unfortunately, since Cox is here, we can't get it. It is counted as served. Like, you guys have service, so we couldn't get a grant for this area. But everything around it, we're going to have within the next 13 or 14 months. So we just thought it fit in good. And we have had a lot of interest. Yeah,
for absolutely. Sure. Very good. Any other questions?
So the main box will be up by the road?
Yeah, it all depends. It won't be right by your entrance, probably.
I'm just wondering how we're getting to the other side, like.
That is a good question.
The dam,
yeah.
We're going to go behind the dam.
Yeah, I think
we're going to go behind the dam.
Yeah. No, and that's questions I'll have about easement areas. I guess every private area, we're doing one right now up at Cedar Springs off of Cedar Creek Road by the little grill up there. That's a whole private area. And we kind of just talked to them and said, you know, they really want our service, but we want to keep them happy and kind of ask them what is acceptable as far as going through the area. This is a lot bigger area, a lot more houses and interest, I guess, as far as people's personal interests. So we want to keep it. So myself and our engineer will be having plenty of questions on what's what.
I think we have 25 feet from the center of the road, but we can verify that.
Okay. And is it an eight set? You just straight public easement?
It is 25 feet from the center.
Right, that's what I remember. I just haven't found it. Okay. That we'll be talking.
So like Sean and I's vehicles, all our technicians are all our trucks are logoed. And then our engineer, we use a company out of Huntel or out of Nebraska, Huntel Engineering, so a little like crossover SUVs. They usually drive and they're might have a small logo, but they're pretty clear what they're doing when they're out staking the neighborhood engineering and our contractors.
Yeah, and once we get to that point, you just, you know, communicate with us if we can broadcast that and get it out. We've got newsletter and Facebook that, you know, we communicate through. So we can get the word out, kind of let everybody know what to expect in case anybody missed the memo.
Yeah, and we will be communicating with you. Like I said, you know, to kind of start organizing these walkthroughs starting October 1st. So we'll be reaching out to you. It's about a 20 to 30 minute meeting at your house with our technicians to figure out where's the best spot to hit that house. So they'll just go house to house to house, stick a white flag on the outside if it's nasty, leave that white flag there, and then that's where the engineer will design the project. We find it's a lot better to take a look inside your house and then also give you the opportunity to say, hey, I'm thinking about adding a deck on this side of the house, or I'm going to put an extension on this side of the house. Let's avoid that and go to the opposite side. So if we have that communication with you ahead of time, then when it comes time to do the transition next spring, there won't be any surprises inside the house.
Very good.
I've got some price sheets. I'll leave them up here on the table. And some channel lineups. That way you can kind of compare with what you have today. Of course, all our pricing is on the internet.
What's the address of the internet?
WTCKS.com.
And the link that we put out on Facebook, when you click on that in the upper right-hand corner, there's three or four little lines. It's like a menu box. Oh, click on that, and it has it tells you all the different things. It has internet, cable, or internet TV, voice, which is phone, and you go through there and it shows you all the different plans.
Is that where you say I'm interested?
There is a deal there to click on and to give them your information, and all you're doing is give them your name, address, and phone, so they have a way to contact you to set up a time to come out and talk to you.
No, I haven't been there.
Yeah, well.
We're down to 17 now.
Get there. So
by tonight.
I'll leave these channel cards here. Just take one with you. I can tell you Premier has the most channels. Then on the backside, it's got all your add-on stuff. Choice is probably our most popular. It's the best value. It includes the DVR. And then this last card has all kind of the skinny packages, the family and the elite sports. So if you are, a lot of people are streaming, obviously, on the TV side. You want to do the elite sports, get all your locals plus the sports channels, and then you can YouTube or whatever you want for the rest of it.
So. Perfect. You just leave it on that table right over there behind you. We didn't get to it.
We get as many people signed up as possible. The sooner you do it, at least the sooner they're going to commit to it.
Yeah.
For sure. So we, yeah. So we want to encourage anybody that's interested.
This, we've been through this process quite a bit. We did all of Blue Township, Whispering Meadows, just south of here.
Residential there?
You bet.
Okay.
Yeah, the whole, we actually have all of the Timber Creeks and everything. This is kind of just a little island right now.
It's been all over down here, and it's a welcome thing. I mean, just for nothing else.
Yeah, never asked.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did do, Glendale area, but exactly, yeah, we kind of built that for the same exact reason. It was kind of on an island out there. And that same contractor did it. That would do this.
We sure appreciate you guys taking time for it tonight. I know it's really short notice, but it worked out great for us.
We'll be in touch. Who would like you talking about the easements and stuff? I know. Okay.
Yeah, might leave some cars.
Yeah, Brent's the resident, I don't know what I call you, retiree.
I have used some.
That's what I'm saying. So yeah, that's awesome. And Jim, you already got all the appreciate you guys having us.
And then we will communicate when we, you know, like I said, we're like 52% before the meeting started. I know there's a couple that said, oh, I should have taken time to do it. So as soon as we hit that 70 mark, we'll push something out, either via email or Facebook or something, just let you know that, hey, we hit it. Our office is right there in Omega, corner 9924. If you have a neighbor or something that could make tonight, but maybe they're, you know, want to come in and visit face to face, have to stop and see.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, moving on. The other thing I had, only thing I had currently under old business was the insurance update, and we're just kind of follow up from last meeting. Rick, do you want to touch base on that?
Please.
Not very much to talk about.
No. Below the, in the packet, below the treasurer's report, there's a printout. The last correspondence with Brooke, our insurance agent, and three things that we had really asked her going out of that previous meeting was we were asking for umbrella quotes at 1, 2, and 3 million. You might remember Jim Waters talking about medical payment. Ours was currently at 5,000, and we asked for quotes 25,000, and we asked for a bid spec sheet. And so we didn't get a lot of those answers, as you can see. She did give us what the 1 million quote was. That's $1,200 for commercial umbrella coverage that we don't currently have. And you can see she talked about the medical. $25,000, she wouldn't offer that to us. I had also asked her.
It was the underwriter wasn't offering. The underwriter wasn't offering. It's not her. Yeah.
Sorry, forgive me. I do think this gal tries for us. You know,
she does.
She really does. But yes. So I'm just showing that probably for today, for tonight, is probably a question of do we want to proceed with the 1 million at $400 a year? And I had asked Lori at the beginning of the meeting if she would be interested in helping me pursue this, continue to pursue that. Because I would like to see the bid spec sheets, have those in hand, and really, really shop this around. Going to be like that's really where we're at today.
Is it safe to assume the $1,200 would be prorated to the amount of time left on the year, or would it go into effect for you?
Yes. Well, for example, our workers' comp, which I am very pleased with that we have in place, I just recently wrote the check for it just I think yesterday, and it was $600. And we did that at about September last year. And so if we did this, I'd write a check soon for $1,200, and it would go to September of next year.
It doesn't renew on the renewal date of our insurance. It's a separate.
So it's not first year.
So
okay.
It would make our total insurance premiums annually a little over $8,000.
Which we have nothing to gauge off of. I mean, we haven't shopped this in 15, 20 years on that. And I'm not necessarily looking to change, but I do think shopping is not a bad idea.
Well, I was just going to ask, I mean, are you willing to reach out to other?
We'd like to.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk about it. We just haven't had anybody really take charge of it. And I haven't had time to get beyond this. Brent has done as good as he can, you know, to get what we can out of her. Unfortunately, she's not.
Have we got our spec sheet?
Not very responsive. No, that's the one thing we're waiting on is a spec sheet from her. But she hasn't been overly responsive. And, you know, it's been a disappointment, I'll be honest with you, from day one.
I am pleased how she comes out. We have been with them a long time. She is responsive. She will shoot you the text, but getting the things that we asked for. Here we are a month and a half later. But I don't want to speak too poorly.
No, I have no reason. I mean, they haven't done us wrong or anything.
So right now we don't have an umbrella policy.
Yeah, it's just our standard policy, which is about $1 million per occurrence, $2 million total.
You can persuade me either way. You know, we hunted last year. We tabled it. And we haven't needed it. But I'm inclined to have the umbrella, even at $1,200. But I don't know. Persuade me probably either way.
You guys think?
I'm kind of like Brett, either way. I mean,
we haven't used it, but when we do need it,
yeah.
Are we going to have a work day?
It's going to be too late.
We have a work day with a wood chipper here soon.
I didn't have crop insurance this year.
Yep. I'll make a motion that we accept the $1 million umbrella commercial coverage at $1,200, and that we can, with the caveat that we continue to pursue the best rates for our membership.
I think we can do that. That'll give us 12 more months to.
Our reinsurance renews in July. It still gives us plenty of time. Didn't have time this year. We just ran out of time.
So I guess I'll second it. If it runs, it runs. That we've got more time to look.
Better safe than sorry. Mm-hmm. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those. Very good. Thank you, guys. All right. So moving on to new business, we've got some up and exciting stuff happening. First person I got up here is Galen Belton with house construction permit with some very nice.
I need one to at least put it in my report. I'll share.
I think I actually have your package from before.
I might make a quick comment on that. About a year ago, Brent and I applied to build a shed, and the intent was to start in the fall and finish in the spring due to contractor schedule. Getting about finished up. I had put in the original one, I put a layout. The layout is almost exactly the same as what it was last fall, the house layout. The only change is, and I might call your attention to the very last page of that layout, is that when we originally laid it out, we thought that the offset or the offset on the north side was 16 feet. When the board came out and looked at that, we determined that based on the rule, the offset on the north boundary was actually 6 feet. Because of that, we have moved everything north about 4 feet. And the primary reason was that gave me room on the south side of the garage to drive around there if I ever needed. I don't plan on having a road there, but rather than driving on a neighbor, I can get in my backyard. That's the only thing that has changed in the footprint of the house since we talked last
time. As it sits on the lot,
right. And The pictures now are computer-generated pictures off of the actual plans. Last year I had just a stock photo of the house.
Oh, yeah.
But it's very similar to what it was. Any questions that we have to answer that I can?
Yeah.
Are you moving the old house or just taking it out?
It has been sold.
Both, really?
Yeah.
How exciting.
But hopefully in the next 2 weeks.
How far away is it going?
It's going to Southwest Nebraska.
Wow.
Because you're gonna go that far.
I ain't making no bad.
Better than having to pay somebody else.
That's good.
I put it on Facebook Marketplace. I have 67 inquiries. I had 7 offers.
They heard about it.
Within 6 hours.
Had the reputation in the old days in there, huh?
They can hit Dave's name all over it.
You better bless that crown.
No, we did for the garage, but we will have to do a site inspection. But the thing is it's got to be kind of flagged off, and I probably can't do that until you tear the old house out.
Well, I got the marker set at the northeast corner.
Okay.
And on the 2 south end of the garages. I got out there if you want to come out.
Wait a minute. That is a part of the process, yes. Is to have that. We're looking for, I think it's 2 to 3 board members to come out and do a walkthrough, just look at the property lines. And that's, you know,
exactly.
That's part of
it. That's why I said, because the board was out last year and looked at that. And that's why I said it's only been a minor change.
On the garage.
It was on the garage.
Yeah, just on that garage.
But the house was marked at the time.
Oh, was it?
It was. Because I don't know if you remember, we talked about that north border.
Yeah, I do remember that. And I remember that's why I brought up the 6-foot line.
But again, the two garage flags had been run over with contractors, but I measured out, reset them before it came. So I've got it marked. Or if you want to wait until it's all done, that's fine. Whatever you got.
Well, I want to hold up, but the walkthrough is important.
The site inspection. Yeah, we ought to do it to just make sure we've checked the box. I don't know if we have that original. The original application you turned in would have been just for the garage, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and you probably paid the fee based on the garage. So we would need the application for the house and then the fee, which you have right here. Sorry. My memory lasts approximately 17 minutes. So, okay, 2,800.
And when do you want to start?
And that 2,800 does not include the basement, but the check does. It's a 3-quarter
basement. All right.
Need somebody to help you on the walkthrough.
Yeah.
The site inspection. That's my only problem. I'm leaving tomorrow. And I'm for the rest.
I can walk next door.
Make sure you call Laura so she's got jam time. But it's slippery.
I'm home.
What you're saying? I can be here at 5:30 in the morning before I go.
Are you here tomorrow?
I'm here.
That's a big deal, is catching him when he's in town.
Sure. And we want to be sensitive and work with him.
Yeah, two things that have come up that I might mention. And one, I noticed you guys have the camper over there. Are you planning on staying in that while you're during construction?
Just while construction. That's okay. Yeah.
We probably need to make a motion to grant that permission for the sake of the way our rules read is limited to a weekend.
It'll just be occasionally.
Right. Yeah. The other thing that I would ask.
Is Nikki not going to be there?
No, she's already moved.
The other thing I would ask during construction, while you still have dirt, you got equipment and all that, you have a member below you, and that hillside slope, there's a lot of runoff.
Yeah.
And now with adding this square footage and everything, you're going to have a lot of rain runoff. All I'd ask is make sure you divert your gutters, and if you need to build a berm or whatever, to divert that to the north side of her house. Otherwise, you're going to have, like, especially right now off your garage, that water would run right straight into her.
I know. I talked to Brother Construction about that. Okay. And he, because of the way he built those walls, he wasn't concerned about the shed. He's planning on putting the silt fence and stuff up there, too.
Well, during construction. But what I'm talking about, just making sure that you take that into consideration, that you reroute that, divert that water, that runoff, rain runoff, to basically avoid her house so that she just doesn't end up with a problem.
Yeah, they have to be. So.
Okay. Perfect. Anybody have any questions?
Would we approve the building permit pending the site inspection, and then just discuss with you when the best time to do that site inspection?
That's fine. Yeah, we're not expecting to. Demo is going to start this week, actually. I'm working on tearing the garage down. Construction of the house, Brady Construction said the earliest they could start would be late October. But we got some time.
Okay.
So we're in September. First thing we should do, get a motion to approve the permit pending site inspection. We have the check, we have the. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Second thing we need is a motion for the camper, basically, if it's gonna be there.
Let people.
Exactly.
Live in a camper.
We had, they brought it to the board.
I'll second that.
For 12 months or a year, roughly. That's basically what the building permit is. And if for some reason something happens and you gotta come back for an extension like you did on the garage, we've been, I don't know who ever.
Once the house is done, they're leaving, plan on parking the camper.
That's why, we got a great place to run it, but talk to Dean.
Yeah, I've got to live in it, Melissa for me.
After we saw that happen.
I'm gonna sign that, pass that around, just underneath my name, the site inspection will be that top section. All right, well, it's exciting stuff, it's gonna be a beautiful home, looks like.
Oh, no, yeah. Yeah, I remember that, I didn't know that.
I actually tomorrow morning, pretty tight. It sounds like we have a little.
I won't be here.
All right, so everybody passing that around?
We're going back to Brent, right?
Then that'll go, well, you wanna hang on to that till after the site inspection and then you'll give it to Jim after we're finalized.
Oh, wait, I can have the contractor, Jim contractor, meet you here too, if I can be here.
We'll try, I really wanna get as many people, board members, so we'll figure it out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item I've got is Corey and Julie Gilmore and house construction permit review. And really all wanted to talk about was the fact that you guys ran into a few obstacles and had several changes, but it looks like we're on the right path now.
Almost a year, next month.
Never easy.
When we started this project, we did the site visit with several of the board members, the house was still standing. And at that time, we figured up the new square footage, given the way our former builder was going to have to do the construction, was gonna be 2104. We wrote you a check on January 19th. That was gonna be a much bigger house than what we're going to now. With the new builder, we're taking this house completely back to what it originally was, which is 1271 on the bottom and 1271 on the second. We're gonna have 1271 new square footage. So the only difference is the new plans, when we initially gave you. The old builder we gave to you, they initially leave the foundations and they were gonna add 4 feet footings on each side. So then we had, then the second story was gonna be, there were gonna be vaulted, so there's one space there. We added all that up, 2104. Now we're bringing it back down for cost purposes and for ease.
But, and I don't have it with me, unfortunately, but your original house plans, the upstairs was only half the house, right?
It's three quarters.
Three quarters, but there was an open area.
Yeah.
So I come up right now, 1271, I come up with 2542. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So I just wanted to make clarity on that. And then originally, you were using your existing slab, so we didn't even really discuss anything about like, there's some, wording in our deal about a dollar square cubic foot, I think, for materials in and out, that sort of thing. But the dollar a square foot really covers the construction. Not so worried about that. I think the emails that I saw, you were asking for a refund. Is that right? Or am I misunderstanding?
Well, when you guys were in the house, we had talked about the first floor and about the fact that there was no frost fittings and that we were not allowed to rebuild on that. Is why we had to take it down and rebuild the new house. And you guys had told us at that time, since we were keeping the floor plan the same of the site, the same that you would have charged us for that square footage on the first floor.
New additional
because we were using the original slab. So we're kind of back to square one because now we've poured a new slab.
We couldn't.
No, I understand that. I understand that. But I just want to make sure I'm on the right track here, on the right path. So far, you paid us 2104. Square footage is 2542, correct?
New square footage is 1271.
But you said it was times two.
Total square footage.
Base floor.
So you're adding, okay, I see where you're going with it.
You're relying on that original square footage, right, of the old house.
What we were relying on is why we were writing a check for 2104, which when we had you out there, we told you the first floor was going to stay the same, which it still is. It's just original size. What they were going to do, we're going to leave the floor plan the same, but we were adding 4 feet on each side because that's where the frost footings have to go. And then they were going to cut it out, cut into it, do whatever they had to. Raise it in the first floor.
I think we were giving you consolation on the first plans because the fact you weren't having to tear that concrete out, you weren't going to have new concrete coming in, correct? You would have had some, but it would have been minimal.
I went on the board, I don't know.
Right. The original 2104, that wasn't a single floor, was it?
That was the upstairs, that was plus the 4 feet all the way around, additional.
Oh, okay.
My thought was we're back to square one basically, so we got to start over.
The original foot plan.
We have to kind of start over, you know, because we're basically now we've tore out concrete, put all new concrete in. The whole purpose of our building permit is just wear and tear on the roads, right?
Yep.
And the way it reads is always based off of living square footage, total living square footage. Okay. I think we are. I mean, I'm fine waiving the materials, the dollar per cubic yard deal, because you know this is kind of they've been through plenty.
Well, and that's when it's excavation, soil, and rock removed from the site. I mean, that is still on site.
Concrete's not.
Okay.
But we did benefit from that because we
did. They say okay.
And so. I want to work with you. I'm compassionate on this kind of thing, but let's give some comparables here. So a house is torn out. None of the house is credited towards the new construction, and new construction pay for all the interior square footage. So here tonight, you know, we have an example of a house that got sold. It's going off site. There's no credit there. Maybe I'm not articulating well.
I mean, we basically made that original agreement based on that set of house plans, and that's changed. And I'm trying to be reasonable, but I'm also trying to be fair to everybody else that goes through this process. And my thinking is we go back to basically a new set of house plans. We go back to basically square one, which would be just total square footage. I'm all about waiving anything for material being out and whatnot. I mean, that's just me. It isn't my decision. It's a board decision. That's why.
So you're really just saying $500, round number. If they pay $2,100. $400. That's why. I just was using a round number. $2,100. Now it's $2,500. So $400.
Well, what I think we're discussing is either credit back to them based on the previous discussions or, you know, almost on what has already been paid towards
the current set of plans.
So, how do we stay fair? What is the right thing to do?
Our cement from that foundation was utilized here at the lake.
But it also saved your builder from having to haul it wherever they were going to haul it. away from me. That's why I'm saying I don't think we need to worry about the dollar a cubic yard deal. I don't know that we ever stick to that very hard anyway. So.
So please specify again for us what is the request? What would be the thing that would make you guys happy today?
We want to do what's right and what's fair. That's why when we did the initial meeting with y'all, we didn't even have ground broke yet with them. We came in front and said, this is the new square footage we're going to have. The agreement was, okay, we'll charge you for the new square footage. Things outside our total control, we decided to downsize that and take it back to the original plan, what that house was when Lori were there. Same square footage there. There was an addition into the garage that they had. We were under the impression that we were paying for the new stuff above. The first floor was kind of there. We were paying for the new stuff above. That was our impression from the board. I guess I was wrong.
And I don't remember it word for word, unfortunately. I mean, it's been long enough ago, but I think I do recall there was some consolation given. And I think the whole point of it was the fact that you weren't tearing out all that concrete, you weren't pouring in all the concrete.
Yeah.
Which is the purpose that originated our original building permit out here fee. Was just the road to where.
Yeah. I agree with that. That was my understanding of that meeting that day, was that that we're giving you credit because of Sam Grove. We were giving you some credit for that existing structure. So, that has changed. So knowing that has changed, but, you know, what is it? Are you wanting to get $1,200 back on that check? Is that what you?
What we were asking for was the difference between what we were paying at 2104 and what we're paying now. That was all we were asking initially, but it doesn't sound like that's the case there. It sounds like you all are taking us to the 2542, so we owe you some money, is what it's sounding like to me.
Yep. I say we split the difference. At least cut them a break.
Was it on total square footage or total?
It was, another $438? I don't know what's fair. I'm just trying to move it along.
They've been running a ringer to begin with.
Well, I don't know all about that, but I'm for what's fair.
As is.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
I don't want to charge more. It's hard to give you a credit back, the rule is, hold it right up. The rule is homes, additions, garages, or storage and structures. It's $1 per square foot to include all interior space and including unfinished areas. So, based on the current square footage of the house that's being built, you're actually getting a deal for what you could pay, right?
Randy's suggesting that they understand that they owe the difference. And Randy's motion right now, I think, is to meet in the middle of that. And I think that's what we're discussing now.
Yep. I don't care. I'm good to let it. I wasn't here on the board when all that happened.
I wasn't on the board either.
You were. A year ago?
Well, I didn't go over there.
That'll be a different conversation. Yeah. Those things can't occur. They have to occur in this room.
What, just to leave it as is?
The permit application and payment was, I don't know if it was here or there, but I know we did the permit here. Mm-hmm. Maybe we did the site inspection.
For 2104.
Yeah, we did the permit here, and then
we did the site inspection, and then we met over there. Oh, we actually might have done the site inspection ahead of time, because you guys needed to. You were in town. And like I said, it's been a long time. I'm not looking to get $100 and life or death to anybody. I just want to be fair to everybody. And changes, there were changes, and so we should have reviewed the plans at that point.
It's a tricky situation with that credit,
especially with the contractor and time frames. I'm open to anything. I just basically wanted to get it before the board so that it was you, everybody making a decision, not this offering decision.
So again, I think Dave was trying to ask, what do you guys, or Brent was trying to ask, what are you guys proposing?
What's the motion?
Or what, what's their?
Well, there's been two motions. One is to split it, one is to just leave it as is.
Leave it as is, make it a wash.
I called question for the leave it as a wash, asking for no additional. Whoever's motion that was, I called question.
That was my motion.
I'll second it.
Call the question.
It means the motion's already made. The end discussion, you call the question.
I just call it a wash. I mean, they've been running through the ringer.
I'm okay with that. Just wanted the board to make that decision. It's not my decision.
So asking for a vote.
I say yes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Are you guys okay with that?
Ready.
It's gonna be difficult. Have to be fair.
We won't go too far into it. I think it's just the wash and the wash. Next item on the list.
All right. So next item I had was Fall Work Day. And really what I'm looking for there is just a chance for us to review as a group items that we're wanting to accomplish.
Blue Stem is coming out. Talked to Dan several times, talked to their main guy Derek, and just the other day, Aaron, their foreman. They'll come out approximately, depending on their schedule, but probably Monday the 25th. Dean has agreed to probably meet with them and kind of be around and available. But the idea is for them to come along the trouble areas and cut and drop branches, things that during an ice storm would cause an outage. So cut and drop and just blow through the whole lake. Again, with maybe a representative of the lake kind of watching. Then on the 30th, for the work day, to have a chipper rented towed behind the dump truck. And that'd be the primary activity of the work day.
They're going to be cutting a lot.
It's going to be a lot of branches, and it'll be so much faster than any way we can cut, and away from energized lines.
Dean, I'm sorry.
Risk of our people being doing it.
So Dean's going to, you're going to meet with them? Because I just know that there's probably going to be limbs in the middle of people's yards, too.
That's the idea, is to have somebody there kind of policing it, you know, but we want them to focus on cutting and that safety, and then we'll chip the branches.
I would imagine they'll drag it to the end of the road.
Yeah. Well, it's from the power lines. So, yeah.
But there are places, to Lori's point, there are places where there's...
Well, because I know that we called like 3 months ago on one, and they said that they would be back in the fall to do it. So I don't know if or is that just our responsibility? Because we called them 3 months ago. I don't want to... You know what I'm saying? I don't want people to think that...
Catch them when they're out here. If your slippers run out there and point at the tree limb.
I don't wear slippers.
Your kimono.
You should.
Depending on if there's plenty of labor for the chipper, Brett and I would like to rent these if they're made or the cold patch. So it would be a small group probably doing cold patch, maybe around the entrance, and then we can certainly use it up on the day.
And Harvey Lane's getting back there.
Harvey Lane never got addressed.
Okay.
But I think it needs more than just coal patch.
Well, I'd be very interested in if there's some spots for see those. And anyway, Brett and I would like to use up the coal patch if there's enough labor in the trees. And then swim rope, volleyball nets, and if there is a surplus of labor, paint the dock. Out of that lake day.
In the spring.
Yeah, spring. The dock has to be done in spring.
So a couple things to add to that. This east side road over here, when you get past like Reeser's and Rickdaw's, that east side of that road is just, I mean, it's growing clear out on the road. We need to cut that back about
a couple years. 12 feet. We went 3 feet. I think we should have went
further. Yeah, we need to go back like 8 or 10 or 12 feet and then tore on it, and just so that it just stays clear all the way up to Tibbetts. And then the ditches on the north end of Gene Tibbetts' property across from Brian's house, those ditches, we put these rock tiers in there several years ago. We need to clean those out because what's happening is the first two are full. So now the water comes down that hill, it goes into those first two, runs out across the road, digs all the gravel stuff with it. So those need to, and it's pretty simple, just to clean out with some buckets and a shovel, a couple people.
Brett's talked about that high road. It's a big interest of his to dress it up, but I think that's a 2020.
We do need to maintain it and keep it going. The gentleman that Joe Jaron's grandpa did a lot of work up there and got that road in really good shape, and it'd be a shame to let it deteriorate.
We opened it up real good.
I've mentioned a couple different times about getting loads of gravel and getting up there, you know, throughout the year, but at some point,
the water's running across the road.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's it needs addressed. We're gonna put in some ditches of some kind up there, probably.
It wouldn't take a lot.
No, it wouldn't. And I doubt there's many utilities or anything that we could dig safe it. But I doubt there's even, you know, there might be, but it'd be very minimal up there. But not suggesting that for fall work day, but yeah, for future, like you say.
We'll bring it up in the
next year's spring, maybe. That'd be a good time before the rains. So paint dock in spring and top road spring. So I got blue stem coming out the week before. Gonna have a chipper shredder. Gonna have the road. We need the east side roadside up here cleared. There'll still be, I mean, I don't know. Do you think we still plan on a bucket truck or just let them do their thing?
I say let them do their thing. So I think they'll clean it up real good. Because we went through over on your side last year with that bucket truck, and we took a bunch of stuff out of there over there.
West side's in pretty fair shape. There's a couple places like between behind Kathy's Lund's house, that dip. There's some spots, but I'm guessing they may hit on
that. I was gonna say if they're gonna come through here and you drop it away from the from the lines, I think they'll do a good job.
Road work with the coal patch, and you were talking a piece of equipment roller.
Yeah.
Do we need to make a motion for?
Yeah, the expenses for the chipper and the roller. I don't know what that $650 was, something like what we paid for the chipper last time. I don't think we even paid for the roller last time.
I don't think we did either. So just figure what, $1,200-$1,500 some budget. Plans are not using that much. So we'll need a motion on that probably.
How much were we allocated?
15. Is that what you said, Brent?
Oh, I think you said 1,200 is a good amount for rental equipment, especially if we get a return. Same.
Okay. So is that a motion?
Yes, I'm motioning. Go ahead and write to chipper and a roller.
Second.
Fourth deck.
And then swim rope, volleyball net, and then ditch clean out. And then anything pops up. Because anything else that anybody knows of or has jumped out? In pretty good shape, really. Okay, perfect. Thank you for that. Clubhouse addition fund. And this is just something that I just want to keep in front of everybody because I think if the more we talk about it, the more interest we'll get. Hopefully, the more support we'll get. Sitting on roughly $1,250 on a goal of $60,000. Thank you, Jennifer, for putting the little thermometer deal in the newsletter. That was cool. You know, I mean, I think we want to make it exciting for the membership. We've got the picture now, and she put that in the newsletter. I can put a deal on Facebook with that and start promoting it a little bit. And maybe the thought is if we keep it up front of everybody, maybe we'll have people come up with some fundraising activities throughout the winter that we can do, you know, play bingo or whatever it takes to make just anything we can do to point money towards this that we can get a head start on it so that next year, when it comes time to, you know, put a plan in action, we've got some money in the bank and we're not just starting from scratch. So I think we're on a good start already.
Think so too. I hope to see it'd be nice to have a little fundraising group. I welcome anybody that's interested in that. I'm not in the fundraising group. I'd ask Tom Hood, he may come to the next meeting. I'd like the board to see the board have prints in hand at the annual meeting presented the design, and that'll be the thing that we then can get our bid. So a goal for the board have prints.
I could work on that. I have an.
I was saw on the deal that you had a 40 by 60.
Right off the
end. What is the width of this?
40.
40.
Really?
I 60 goes right
concrete, up. Concrete, and then we're going to go 60 out that way.
To the concrete out concrete, there. Concrete. Okay. So it would be a lot bigger roof line. That was my.
It's about the same. I mean, really, it's just about the size of, probably the size of this room. Would be my guess. It'd be really close. It'd be in that picture.
All the way out to the edge of that concrete, to the edge of this.
It's a corner of the building, corner of the building.
Building, corner of the building.
It's 40 feet.
Because they're going to match, when we talk to them, they're going to match.
This is not 40 feet.
To walk it off.
From inside, outside of that wall, outside of that wall?
From the roof.
Roof line.
Okay.
Roof line to roof line, we wanted them to go exactly.
Okay, go, that was my point.
Yeah, we're going the same way it is that.
Here, if you want to enclose it.
Yeah, that was my point.
And the picture, in that picture that I shared with Jennifer is an actual shelter house that is built here in the area. I actually got that from Jerry Glassberry. It was a property here at PC was working on. It was a local contractor that built it. I plan on talking to them to at least get some ideas, and because they did the roof very similar to this and everything. It looked really nice. I think it'd be just ideal for what we're looking at. But main thing was just to get the fund initiated and get that communication going. To your point, we've always had a recreation committee that we, you know, some years it worked out really well, some years not so much. We haven't done a committee so much in the past. But we would be open to that if somebody wanted to be a part of that or even possibly chair that.
Part of the red thermometer club.
What I would like to do is maybe look at setting some schedule and some dates for some events. We've got turkey shoot. We've got, you know, do we have a Halloween party plan coming up? Do we have, a holiday for whatever reason, the holiday breakfast or whatever keeps popping up on my Facebook feed from last year. There's some things where we're in October. So if we don't start making those dates and getting them hard on the calendar, make sure the clubhouse is reserved, the activity we've had in the clubhouse, the chance we're going to miss a date that we need. So while we're on that subject, Randy, your turkey shoot, is that Friday the 17th? We already got it. I already got it on my calendar. Look at that. So November 17th. Friday before Thanksgiving. Is that what you usually do?
That's a good time for me.
Halloween party, October 28th, as per Ashley.
Okay.
October 28th.
Are you okay with the turkey shoot being included as a clubhouse
edition? No, that's why I requested the last turkey shoot.
I'm just making it official.
Bring your money.
October 28th on Halloween. November 17th on turkey shoot.
And when was Halloween? Oh, sorry.
October 28th.
Okay.
It's a Saturday.
It'll be on Facebook.
Yeah, Randy will see it there. And then do we want to do a holiday? I mean, the holiday deal, brunch deal or breakfast. We've always done breakfast. Last year they did a brunch. I don't think I was here last year, but did it go over pretty well? Is everybody?
I wasn't here.
I know it was spread out a lot more time. It started later, but it seemed like there was something else going on.
Short. I think they were short on time.
They were only did it for like a couple hours, yeah. I think.
There was something going on that day, it seemed like. Do we want to tentatively schedule one so we at least can block the clubhouse out?
Yep.
And is that a Saturday morning usually?
Yep.
Yeah.
I already have it on my calendar. December, I think I threw these dates on just so I had something to talk about, but I got December 16th as a tentative date.
Sounds good.
You're going to call it a breakfast or a lunch?
Well, that's for lunch for discussion. And the reason I brought that up was because I went here last year, so I don't know. I mean, usually we always started, about 8:30 or something? 8:30, and we always had good turnout in the mornings. I think we moved it later because the folks that were doing it kind of and sleep in a little bit, so they're given more time to prepare. You guys okay with that? Do you want to? Can you give your wife these dates? Hopefully, I'm actually looking right now to make sure that it isn't looked for any of the dates already.
Yeah, we need biscuits and drink better.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I know, right?
Like September 26th is our last, September 30th.
Really, workday. I was going to say 7 days.
Moses, which that's a Saturday, that doesn't affect us.
18th, I thought you said the 17th was on a Saturday.
That's what I had on my calendar. Do you have the clubhouse rented for November 17th?
I have it for the 18th.
18th, that a Sunday?
It's a Saturday.
I need a new calendar.
Friday night is one.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Thank you, Jennifer, whoever out there needs me straight.
No, I got that.
Okay, so 17th, turkey shoot. Lori already has a reserve for the 18th. October 28th, Halloween, looks like it's open. And then December 16th, you said, for the holiday break?
Yes.
Okay. Am I missing anything? We can decide at the next meeting if you want on the holiday breakfast, or you just want to schedule it as an 8 or 8:30 type deal.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Turkey shoot is at 7 o'clock usually we start?
I think so.
Yeah.
Halloween's just lasts all day. So.
Hey, Rick, right?
I will be in Aruba. So I will get some, unfortunately. All right. Well, I think that's
a clarification about clubhouse. The thought I heard you say that it was going to be $10,000 fundraising, $10,000.
That was just discussion as what
that
would
was
be.
Me reading. That was. No.
We don't, that has to be communicated. We were discussing possibly a limit that we feel free to talk, but we were discussing a limit of how much can we afford to match. So we could offer matching funds. So maybe to help promote getting kicked off. And I think 10,000 is kind of what we decided might be a fair number that we felt like the board or the lake could afford to do this matching. I don't know if we want,
we don't even have a dollar.
$1,250.
No. I meant for the building.
We got $1,250.
$60,000 total.
$1,250.
I was talking about what our cost is. So.
Jennifer,
I was meaning by the time we have $60,000.
That's what I mean. I only, yeah.
We would like to have a fundraising.
Good question, though. It did come up in the minutes, and it was a discussion, just basically. It was just a conversation.
It was Brent's vision is what I wrote it down as. Yeah. Brent's vision.
I think it's important when showing a bank that you're having matching funds, borrowing 100% of the project.
Yeah, by all means, I'd love us to raise $40,000 and only borrow 20, because interest is not going to be our friend anymore for a while. All right, so I think we're good on the clubhouse addition fund, unless anybody has any other comments or any other fundraisers they'd like to suggest.
When we were here last fall, there was a community-wide garage sale weekend. Is that something you always do, or was that just?
Well, I just had one.
Did it?
it's been just
a month or two ago.
But it's just depends on what's going on.
Yeah, and in the level of interest, my family very much had interest, and we helped promote it. And so we've had two actually in the last year or so.
Now, I was going to ask, because don't you guys have like a big estate sale or something coming up? When is that?
October 21st, but it is not at the clubhouse. It is at.
Understood, but I wonder if would we want to do a garage sale at that same time?
We're going to probably have a food vendor. I'm trying to make a big deal.
You got a band? We're still in the planning stage. I remember that you guys talking about that. I seen it on Facebook. Honestly, it could be open for the garage sale until the 21st, because there's already going to be
a community wide garage sale and challenge people to get their proceeds.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea. Sounds like we got a new
brand.
Got herself elected to the restaurant. I like that. And, you know, we could throw that around. I mean, that just it doesn't have to be super formal. It's just if we're going to have a bunch of people out here already, we don't want to take away from your sale. But
I'm not opposed.
It might help draw more people, too. So, anyway, we could talk about that further. Was that date October 21st?
Yep.
No, The last thing I had was discussion on board night. And the reason for that is Mark's having a hard time on Tuesdays. Suggested was to go to Thursdays. Is Thursday the night you have a conflict?
Yeah, I'll be gone till end of January at least, every Thursday.
Was that Wednesday?
We can't do Wednesday because he doesn't get back from the road.
Well, I don't know that. It's just I've been making Tuesdays work, but yeah, it's tough.
What?
Mondays or Thursday.
Who would let Mark, I guess it's saying so.
Because when the one I got on it was
Friday's a bad idea.
Oh, no.
And then we just changed it not too long ago.
Yeah, Friday's a bad idea.
Thank you guys.
Friday is not going to work, I think.
Yeah, Friday.
See you guys. Yeah. Or it, other things will occur.
Mark worried.
It will not be the evening to do it. I was going to say thirsty Thursdays. I was going to say.
Is it every Thursday for you?
Yep. Up until October, until January, right?
End of January.
Yeah.
See, he just got on this year. So he's still got two more years.
Same Randy.
Yeah, same with Randy because he got on because it was on Thursday.
So table it for now, re-discuss it in January.
For now and talk with him and see. Yeah, he leaves Monday morning, don't get home until Thursday night.
Right, but he's home literally every Thursday night. Yeah. I can be home Thursday night. I can be home Tuesday night. It's just Thursdays work better for me too. But it doesn't matter.
The only ones
I would be late and slightly inebriated, but.
Let's go for it.
My deal to Mark is we do Thursdays. They go to Thursday on your way to the meeting.
Yeah.
Well, you guys tell me. I mean, we can table it Wednesdays. I don't know.
Table until next meeting. Right. So maybe we'll have some
worse. Granted, I'm only temporary, so it really doesn't matter. I mean, if it's Wednesday.
Temporary till January. Well, vote it in for real.
Anyway, what I was saying is it really doesn't matter if I'm not here.
So I'll make a motion.
I have a quick motion before that motion.
Well, I was going to say, I think maybe.
Yeah, is there any other new business? And Dean had a couple things he wants to talk about too.
Okay, mine's about it.
Oh, good thing you're here. Bend your center. Yeah. Let Dean go first.
Well, he knows what I'm going to say. I make a motion to have Dean be our equipment manager as a part of what he already does with the shop up there. Really appreciate the work he's already done with the salt truck and the dump truck and everything else.
What does that mean?
What does it mean? Scheduling maintenance, okay. Having some discretion on, like, people should talk to them about the use of the equipment.
I think we already have that big discussion.
Yep.
About the equipment.
Yeah. Great. Not a rules change. I'm just being his equipment manager. I tried to do that with Harold. I really like the idea of having a single point of contact, I think. And he is interested.
I agree.
Good.
I'll second.
Yeah. You are it. You and Howard are going to have a
fight. You're here to defend yourself, so that's your chance.
No, I get along with Howie. I get along with everybody.
What did you have for us, sir?
Oh, yeah. I've got three quick things. We have three more trailer rentals.
Oh, nice.
So now we're up to 10, which is great. The next thing is we're having a little trouble with the pickup. Jeff is looking at it, thinks it's a some type of vacuum leak, but he's going to have to tear part of the top off. So he's still working on that.
Is he taking it out of the school?
No, I think he's.
Oh, he's just doing it himself.
He's doing it here. I believe. It's still there. the next thing is I'd like the board's permission to make an appointment for the dump truck. We wanted to try to hold off until after work day. We need a service. We need that rear end fixed. And we need a DOT inspection. I have one of those right now. I can't find no paperwork in there. And
they did the last one. In Wilmington, they should have a record of it, but it's been a couple of years. I think is that an annual thing? I think
every 12 months.
I think they failed to put a sticker in the truck.
They did it when it was there for last service, which was probably about a year ago.
It's time.
Okay.
But what I'm asking is if I can make the appointment to get that done after the.
Yes.
Workday.
I think so. I make a motion that he can. And that's.
And we probably get.
Servicing needs to be done.
On the, we really need an estimate on the axle first.
It's just a seal, it's just a seal.
If we just think it's a seal, then we're fine, but I just meant $4,000, we want to reevaluate that.
Yeah.
That's, I'm just trying to say, we need to keep that repair within reason, right, if it's a seal for sure, but I meant, but.
Yeah.
Wasn't it a pinion seal, or was it the gasket on the back of the rear end housing, or?
They mentioned it was leaking and suggested that we sell it.
You what?
It was leaking and they suggested we bought, that they buy it from us.
Yeah, there was a particular guy that wanted to buy.
If you wouldn't mind just asking them for, you know, an estimate on that, I don't imagine.
Probably think, probably anything under 500 would be fine to fix.
We've got about half a tank, we want to try to get by until after workday. That way, once we get a service and everything, we can get winter diesel.
Get winter diesel, good deal.
Correct.
That's all I have.
Anybody else?
Run out of gas, call Dean.
Yeah.
Anybody else have anything for the board, new business that we might have started, okay?
Good.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
So I was gonna say, I knew what your motion was.
Get the hell out of there.
Thank you, everyone.
Hey, Brett, come here.
Yes, sir.